From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. A new support hotline is now active across the country for people facing thoughts of suicide or dealing with a mental health crisis. 988 has been the number to call since the middle of this month. Advocates say the new number will help people access the mental health care they need, but there are some urging caution. They worry calling it could lead to police visits or involuntary hospitalization, particularly for vulnerable groups. Joining us now to talk about all this is Emily Legner. She's the regional director of the Crisis System of Care at Memorial Behavioral Health, which handles hotline calls from several central Illinois counties. Emily, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And there are other ways in which access to mental health care is expanding across Illinois. Nearly two dozen living rooms, so-called living rooms, offer alternatives to emergency rooms. And joining us to talk about that is Christina Gerlach from Unity Point Health. She's a crisis services manager at the Unity Place Living Room in Peoria. Christina, thank you for being with us as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, we want to hear from you today at 800-222-9455. Have you ever known someone who had trouble getting the help they needed for a mental health crisis? Do you think the new hotline will be effective? And what questions do you have about it? You can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or tweet us at 21st Show, at 21st Show. So, Christina, I want to begin with you. Can we just set a baseline? What is the current state of mental health care in Illinois?
Well, I would say the current state is probably that it's growing and expanding. I think all of our efforts to increase awareness, while those still need to, continue, I do think awareness has also brought the need for services and differing kinds of services, looking at things besides the traditional, individual counseling, what other services can individuals benefit from, depending on their different crises and long-term needs.
Would you say that most people are able to get the help they need, and why or why not?
I think, first of all, location definitely impacts that. I do think there are some areas of the state that have more resources, in one area, and some are more spread out. It definitely can be a challenge at time to engage in services. That's one of the reasons the Living Room Grant program was established, was to eliminate some of those barriers. A lot of places, you call and you say, I need help, or I think I need a counselor. And sometimes you encounter barriers, we need to set up an assessment, or we need to set up an initial appointment, those kinds of things. And so people who, wrote the grant or behind the grant noticed that a lot of those people, when they weren't able to get that immediate help, were going to emergency rooms, which were not necessarily the best settings for the crises that the person was having. And mm-hmm. So they developed this living room program where essentially you just walk in the door and you let our receptionist know for our program, hey, I'm here to meet with somebody from the living room program.
Yeah.
And it's staffed with a peer recovery specialist. So it's a peer, somebody who has had their own recovery, but who has also had additional training to help navigate people as they embark on their journey. So really their goal is to be there, that immediate link, as well as, we follow up within 72 hours. People are more than welcome to come back as much as they need to really engage them till they can get into those more, traditional services if that's what's needed.
Yeah. Well, and I want to put a pin in the idea of the living room for now and come back and talk a little bit more in detail about that later, because I think that's the first step in the process of seeking help, at least as it's envisioned by this new national hotline, or the new number for the existing national hotline is dialing 988. So, Emily, I want to bring you into the conversation. Can you talk about the sort of the broad purpose of this 988 number change in the hotline itself?
Yeah, of course. So as you mentioned, there has been the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline for a number of years, and it was kind of long number. It's an 800 number, a little bit difficult to remember. So they did go ahead and change that over to 988 as an easy to remember, quick access point to some crisis counseling or intervention. So instead of, you know, say you're in crisis, you need someone to talk to, and you've got to look up a number, you might, you know, lose the motivation or the nerve to call that number by the time you find it, or maybe you have the inability to find that number. So 988 is something everyone can remember and quickly dial and get that need or that help that they need.
So what actually happens when someone, they hit that 988 on their phone, the circuits connect or whatever happens today, if it's not circuits that goes on the internet and somebody answers the call, what happens next?
Yeah. So, you know, they're going to dial the number. There is an option to get a veterans line. They can choose that option. Otherwise they're going to be routed to their local call center. So for us, that's here in Springfield and we cover several counties. And that 217 zip code or 217 area code. So you're going to call in, you'll get a counselor who's been trained by Vibrant, some of their training, and then also our-
And Vibrant is the national organization that's sort of organizing this,
that's right.
This number. Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. So there are several simulations and things that they'll go through and get trained on. And of course, we do additional training here at Memorial. There are lots of shadowing opportunities and things like that. So you'll get that counselor. They're going to just talk you through what's, you know, going on with you that day. What brought you to call? They're going to do a safety assessment. They're going to ask you several different questions just to see, you know, what they can help you with, what's going on with you, what your level of risk is, and what they need to do for you. Once you have talked, they're going to determine, you know, what are the different resources that you might benefit from. Maybe you're already involved in outpatient services, or you know, just need some additional resource in your community. So they're going to be able to link you up with those things and ensure that all of your needs are met. So not just you need to see a counselor. I mean, they can look up various different resources for you and get you that information. They also can do a safety plan with you if that's something that you are needing and you know, wanting to do. They'll do a safety plan with you and walk through, you know, what are your triggers, who are your supports, what are your coping skills. They can also do some brief counts or crisis intervention and provide you with some different coping skills that maybe you don't have yet, and do those things with you. And then at the very end, they're going to ask you if you would agree to a follow-up call from them or someone on their team. And so then we will, if you say yes, then we will go ahead and call you in the next couple of days and just check in on you, see if your crisis plan is working. See if you were able to access those resources that they gave you. You know, determine if there is anything else they can do to help you in any way. And, you know, that's how that call goes.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the new 988 number for the mental health and suicide crisis line. It's modeled, obviously, after 911. It's meant to be something easier to remember than the previous 800 number. We're talking about this with Emily Legner from Memorial Behavior Health, which handles hotline calls from a number of central Illinois counties around Sangamon County, where Springfield is, and also Christina Gerlach from Unity Point Health, who's a crisis services manager at the Living Room in Peoria, which is a sort of newer model for people experiencing mental health crisis of somewhere they can go that's not in emergency room to try and seek care. Emily, I mentioned in the introduction that there are people online who've been sort of expressing concern about the 988 number. And I think these concerns carry over from the previous 800 number in the system in terms of that it could lead to involuntary police contact or involuntary hospitalization. What would you say to people who have those concerns?
Yeah, so, I mentioned that we will do a safety risk assessment with each caller, as long as we have them on the phone that long. And if we are concerned that their safety is at risk and we cannot assist them and we cannot help them develop a safety plan to keep them safe, we can dispatch our mobile crisis response team to you and get you that face-to-face assessment and intervention in different counties. That's not available to all counties in person that we cover, but we also offer telehealth intervention with our mobile crisis response team if there's that extra needed assessment and intervention. So we would, you know, definitely try that if that's something that was needed and we can't resolve the crisis on the 988 call center line. I can promise that a police officer would never be called out. If we were really very concerned about someone's safety, we could do a safety check on them just to ensure that they are okay. And yes, I guess there could be hospitalization if they were assessed, you know, by someone in our emergency departments. Like if we said, hey, why don't you go to the emergency department? I think you need to be assessed. Or if we say, hey, I really think you need to be have that interaction from our intervention from our mobile crisis response team. Yes, that could result in hospitalization. You know, I can't say that never would. excuse me. However, you know, we know that I think it's 80% of all calls to the 988 line are resolved on that line. And then mobile crisis response, when they come out, a high percentage of those are also resolved in the home or in the community, wherever that caller is. So, you know, I'd say that, sure, I guess that could be an outcome if we were to dispatch our mobile crisis response unit out, or if we were to do a safety check with a police officer or ask you to go to the emergency room. That could be an outcome, but that would only be for those people who absolutely need that inpatient level of care to ensure their safety.
Christina, I want to ask you about, there's still a stigma out there around talking about mental health, I think, among a lot of people, and that can make it harder to get care. How do you navigate that, both for the people who might need the care themselves and their friends and family, maybe, who want to help that person or encourage that person to seek care?
I do think that our addition into our programs, and we do have them in other programs besides the living room, of peer support specialists has helped really bridge that connection to not only wellness, but that people have been in similar situations and can speak from their personal experiences about their recovery to really try to increase that engagement in services. That's actually part of the expectation for that role within the living room program within our mobile crisis unit here in Peoria. And then we have a couple other peer-led programs. But part of the expectation is that the peer actually discloses their own recovery to guests, to consumers, to really try to encourage that. And then just doing, you know, community outreach, that it's not all kind of the traditional, you know, you walk into a counseling session, you know, one-on-one kind of thing, that we have different arenas, you know, whether it's groups, whether it's, you know, all day, you know, individual, just different ways to try to engage people to kind of get through some of those I think preconceived notions about mental wellness and really taking an investment in your own.
Emily, we need to take a break in about a minute or so, but how have things been going with the first few weeks of this new hotline number in place? I don't know if you can say how many calls have come in, if there have been an increase.
Yeah, so it's been going very, very well. We did see an increase. The calls about doubled in that first week of 988 going live, but it's not an insurmountable amount of calls that we can answer. We were able to, you know, handle those just fine. We do have a few teams here who will serve as backups as well. So we have a great well-rounded crisis team that is comprised of so many people who are peers, like Christina mentioned, and those that are, you know, trained counselors, and they all work very well together to make sure needs are met. And then we know there's always the opportunity for a call to go over to the PATH Center there in Bloomington. So still in our state, if we can't answer it, it'll still go in our state there. And they're answering a lot of calls as well. And then there's always the backup to the backup, which is the national backup centers too. So it's going fine, handling it very well, and, you know, getting good feedback so far.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll continue talking about the new 988 line, as well as the living room concept for trying to help people in mental health crisis or with thoughts of suicide. Again, the number is 988. If you want to join our conversation, particularly if you have experience trying to access this sort of care in the past, we'd love to hear your story at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. More to come on the 21st show in just a moment. Please stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about mental health, and specifically accessing mental health when someone is in crisis. There's a new number nationwide. 988 is the number to call. It replaces the previous 800 number, which is still active, but 988, it's intended to be an easier way for people experiencing a mental health crisis, thoughts of suicide, a way that they can try and connect with help in the short term. We're talking about that with Emily Legner from Memorial Behavioral Health, which handles hotline calls for a number of central Illinois counties around the city of Springfield. Also, Christina Gerlach from Unity Point Health, who is a crisis services manager at the Unity Place Living Room in Peoria. The living room is this newer concept in mental health. The idea is, rather than having to go to an emergency room in a sort of institutional setting like that, there are these places styled as living rooms where you can talk to peers and people aiming to connect you with health. Emily, something you mentioned earlier piqued my interest. You mentioned there's a veterans option. And I wonder what other sort of accessibility, there is with hotlines like this, right? I mean, there are people who maybe only speak Spanish, or in Illinois, Polish. In the Chicago area is a big language. What sort of accessibility is there for people, who might have not be able to connect just with a standard line?
Yeah, so there are options for other languages as well. So that should not be an issue. They want to ensure that, you know, those who need to talk to someone are able to talk to someone. There is also options for deaf and hard of hearing. So,
okay. The national crisis hotline has faced some criticism over long wait times and limited funding. There was a recent NPR story on this 988 that said that at least back in 2020, the National Suicide Hotline received nearly 2 million calls, but was only able to respond to 85% of callers. Emily, is that a problem in Illinois? Is there a capacity issue at all?
So, you know, not that I am aware of. I know that is why they, you know, have added on a few agencies who are taking these calls as well. So there are some newer people jumping on board and taking over additional counties and areas. So that is, you know, an effort that they're making to ensure that there is no capacity issue, that we are going to be able to answer these calls. I know sometimes, you know, callers will call in and feel like they're waiting too long and they hang up before we can get to them. I know that is definitely something that happens from time to time. So what I would say is don't give up, don't hang up. Someone's going to answer that call. It may be a little bit of a wait, it shouldn't be too long. And looking at the statistics for Illinois, we get reports each month. It looks like most calls are really answered within less than a minute.
And Christina, I want to ask you, I want to turn now back to this idea of the living rooms that we were talking about earlier. What is the process like? Somebody walks in the door, do they have to call to come in, get an appointment? How does that work?
No, it's really is, you just walk in the door. Once people come in the door and meet with our staff, they also have the option to call anytime if need be as well. But they walk in the door and say they're here to see the living rooms program. And that's only because we have a couple different programs in this building. And so we want, just to make sure we hit the right need. And a peer recovery specialist will come up. There's a brief COVID screening because, of course, that's our lives right now. And then they're taken back to a fairly large room that is really set up like a living room. I've been a social worker for over 20 years, and it is by far the most relaxed clinical setting I think I've ever seen, in a good way. We have tables and chairs and a coffee machine and recliners. It's not your typical counseling environment by any means. There's a TV, there's a Wii, and the peer support specialist just does a brief intake with the guest, as they're referred to, kind of sees what's going on, what the need is, and works with them on a treatment plan, a brief treatment plan about, what can they offer or connect them with that matches the need they walked in the door with.
Is there a certain type of person who does better in the living room environment than maybe, you said you've been doing this for, we'll just say, a number of decades now, who thrives in this environment, who might have, had a little more difficulty in a more, room with a little more aluminum and vinyl, surfaces, the typical medical exam room, for example?
I think it all depends on the stage of crisis they're in. I have been, I don't want to say fortunate, but really it has felt fortunate at sometimes that I've seen some clients that I've worked with in hospital settings who have come here to, engage in the living room program kind of at those early warning signs of their crisis, and have actually done really well and being able to come up with treatment plans for what's going on and coping skills, and have been able to avoid the whole hospitalization process. So one of the benefits as well of the program is they are linked with master's level clinicians as well as our emergency response system. So even if the person walks in and the needs are more than what that setting can provide, we can have them meet with other crisis counselors at that time to engage them at what level of care is really needed.
So Emily, living rooms, 988, these are just part of this larger framework of crisis mental health care in Illinois. What else is out there in that system?
So there are so many things. Different communities do have the living room. We're one community that also has a living room and is accessed very regularly by various different people. There's also, of course, our traditional outpatient services. There is a partial hospitalization program. There are psychiatric services. So many things are offered, and there are going to be more. I mean, the whole national push is, somewhere to call, which is our 988, someone to respond, which is our mobile crisis response units, and then somewhere to go. So there are going to be additional services that are coming up in the coming years of, these crisis stabilization units that are going to be open. So there are tons of services out there for people. It's just knowing that they're there and knowing that, hey, I have something going on and I should access these services, and it's okay to access these services.
How has the system changed over time, right? I know going back decades, we used to have these terrible institutions, and it seems like a good thing that that's not the go-to answer anymore. But for a long time, there was this lack of investment, right? There were supposed to be more of these community-oriented responses to mental, to people, you know, getting help to people who are experiencing mental health crises. How is Illinois doing overall in moving, you know, away from the old system, but putting new things in place to get people the help they need? And Emily, I'll direct that to you to begin.
All right. Yeah. So I think they're making progress, right? They are doing a better job of, they're funding some of these different programs. There are those SAS programs out there, the family support program, the living room grants that have come about. There's, you know, new grants for expanding those mobile crisis response teams. That's something that's newer. They're bringing in, you know, 988 and trying to help fund those things. So they're making progress. They're trying to get the services out there available for people. There's, of course, so much progress to be made, so many gaps. And, although funding is being provided to some degree, you know, it's just touching the tip of the iceberg. So there definitely needs to be more progress made. And but we're heading in the right direction.
And Christine, I wonder what your perspective is on that. As somebody who's been doing this for a while, is this, you know, the best of times for this sort of care in Illinois, the worst of times, somewhere in between? How would you rate it?
I would definitely say it's somewhere in between. Services have definitely grown, which is always a positive. But I do think as Illinois goes forward and looks at, you know, different programs and different grants and that kind of thing, they are incorporating those peer voices, those that are in recovery, a lot more. To really get their take, you know, of, okay, you were in this situation. What do you feel, you know, would help you through? What else can we offer? And so I do think by incorporating those different voices into decision-making, it is causing things to grow in a positive way. I think one of the, if there are any positives that came from COVID, I do think one of the positives was really the push for telehealth. It has definitely allowed us to expand into the more rural areas that were, you know, underserved. You know, several of the living room programs, including ours, went to telehealth as well as in person during COVID. We didn't let it be a barrier, but we knew it was a barrier for some. So, and I do think, you know, the expansion of just kind of that telehealth realm of services and being able to meet with people online that can help navigate you through, you know, what's going on has been a great addition to the field.
Let me just remind listeners, we're speaking with Christina Gerlach, Crisis Services Manager at Unity Point, the Living Room, which is as we've been talking about, a model for people who want help in a mental health crisis. And also Emily Legner, Regional Director of the Crisis System of Care at Memorial Behavioral Health, which handles hotline calls to the new 988 number for people in mental health crisis. And it handles calls for several counties in central Illinois. 800-222-9455 is our number if you want to share your experience, or maybe you or someone you know in your family has tried to get mental health help in the past. What barriers have you faced? Emily, let me ask you about, you mentioned that there was a doubling of the calls in the first week. I wonder if that was just sort of the big press pop on it, awareness, or where do you see the number going? Is it projected to grow as it's, you know, as this number is now easier to know for people and easier to access?
Yeah, no, I do think this was definitely due to the increased coverage on the number and getting that marketing out there of, hey, this is coming. However, I will say they called it a very soft rollout. So there is going to be more education and, you know, marketing and notification of this line coming. So yes, I definitely assume that it's going to increase even more.
And as we're coming to the end of our time together, Christina, what gaps are there still in our system of mental health care in Illinois? How does the health system, like, what work needs to be done to fill those gaps, to meet people where they are?
I still think we can always do more in early intervention, and really helping people early on, you know, even through child and adolescent years, identifying just kind of those warning signs that you know, things are not all of a sudden, typically with mental health, there's typically a building of emotions and events, and really just the benefit, teaching people the benefit early on of, you know, the sooner you can identify and start working with a team, you know, the more hopeful and positive we can get your recovery to be. And so I really think having those programs, whether it's 90-day or the living room, where people can really just call or walk in the door and engage people with that non-judgmental, we're here to help you regardless of what's going on, approach is what's going to help expand that awareness.
Emily, same question to you. Where is there still progress to be made in terms of the system of mental health care in Illinois?
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously ongoing education and awareness to help fight the stigma that really prevents people from reaching out, I think that's huge. We're always going to be needing to do that and fighting that stigma. I think that the cost and the just simple access of services has to improve. There are so many, you know, Christina, you talked about this, there are so many small and rural communities that just don't have, you know, these services in their town. And so how do they get to the services? How do they, you know, pay for the services? Cost is something, you know, if it's, you know, funding or better insurance coverage, you know, even if you have insurance, sometimes the copays and deductibles are so high, you still can't afford to go get that help. So that's a lot of work to be done. And that will definitely improve people's access to these services and getting the help they need.
And Emily, probably our last question, but we've been framing this largely as people calling the number themselves. What about friends and family? Is this for them as well to call if their loved one is in trouble and they're worried about them?
Yes, absolutely. We have already had family members who call concerned about their loved one. Just getting information and resources and what to do and ideas and ways to ensure safety. We can absolutely talk with family and friends as well and try to get the help that person needs.
Emily Legner is with Memorial Behavioral Health, staffs the 988 mental health crisis line in Central Illinois. Christina Gerlach is crisis services manager with the Unity Place Living Room in Peoria, which is part of Unity Point Health. Christina, Emily, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show to talk about this important issue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, the number is 988. Very simple. If you are having any issues with mental health, or maybe you know someone who is, 988 is the number to call. We will continue to follow this in the months ahead. Coming up after the break, we're going to be pivoting to talk about something completely different. It's Illinois' state insect, the monarch butterfly. It's just been added to a red list of endangered species. We're going to talk about what that means and what might be done to protect this very special insect to those of us here in Illinois. And that conversation is on tape, so we're not taking calls. But as ever, we love hearing from you. Talk@21stshow.org is our email address. Do keep in touch. More to come here on the 21st Show after a short break. Stay with us.